Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf lamed. Hey, we're holding two lines from the bottom of the Omen Omer of Chananel Omer Rav, but Rav Chananel directly relates to the Braisa of four or five lines before that, so we'll start from Tana Rabbanan. This Braisa has major, major halachic ramification for each and every one of us Jewish males. Why? Because this Braisa will tell us what is the order of the tefillin, the parshiyos within our tefillin. It's Tana Rabbanan, Ketzad Sidran. We know that there are four parshiyos in the tefillin. The question is, what order? Says the Braisa, Kaddish Li, Boyekidiacha, Miyamin, Shema, Bohoyim Shemoya, Mismoil. These four that we just now enumerated are in the same order as you find them in the Torah. Kaddish Li and Vahoye Kiviecha are both in Parshas Boy, and they are back-to-back, Kaddish Li being earlier and followed by Vahoye Kiviecha. And then when you go all the way to Sefer Dvorim, to Parshas Veschanan, then you have the Shema, and after that, you have in Parshas Ekev, the Parshas Vahoye Im Shemaya. The way Rashi learns, which is L'chayr, the simple way of learning, you start off with Kaddish Li, on the right-hand side. Number two is Vahoye Kiviecha. Number three is Shema. And number four is Vahoye Im Shemaya. Freikti mar vatanya ipcha. But I have a braisa that says, punkt faker, just the opposite. Meaning, instead of starting with Kaddish Li, you start with Vahoye Im Shemaya, and then Shema, and then Vahoye Kiviecha, and then Kaddish Li. It's a chastira. Omer Abayi says it's very, very simple. Loi kasha. It all depends from whose perspective that you're looking. Are you looking at the one that's wearing the tefillin? Or you're talking from the perspective of someone looking at the person who's wearing tefillin? So, for instance, I'm looking at all of my good friends on the other side of the table, and I see each one of them, Baruch Hashem, has two arms, and I look at, and I think to myself, oh, that's his right arm. But of course, the gentleman sitting opposite me, my good friend Ariel, is thinking, that's not my right arm, that's my left arm. That's, of course, depending. When I'm looking, it looks like his right. But from his perspective, it's his left arm. Same thing with these four parshiyos. If I'm looking directly at the tefillin that my friend is wearing, so it's in one order, Kaddish Li Vayikiviecha. But from his perspective, when he's looking at me, then his tefillin is exactly the opposite. So therefore, there's no stira whatsoever. V'ha-koyre, koyre kesidran. And the four parashas, which we just enumerated, those are the way that you read them in the Torah, meaning had you been reading the whole Torah from Bereishis until the end of Dvarim, that would be the order, the Kaddish Li, v'yekeviecha, Shema, v'hoyim Shema. That's the way Rashi learns. That's a push-up shot, and that's the way we have it in our tefillin as well, in that order. However, the bottom toisvis says, L'chayra, I have one problem with that explanation. And that is, why does the Braisa say, Kaddish Li v'yekeviecha from the right, and Shema v'hoyim Shemoya from the left? It should say in the Braisa, Ketzet Sidron, you start miyamin, and then you go straight. Kaddish Li, v'yekeviecha, Shema, v'hoyim Shemoya. Why in the middle do we break it up and say, these two are on the right, and these two on the left? If we're in fact going in order, then they're all in order starting from right to left. So it's strange that the Braisa should go and stop it and say, miyamin, these are the two, okay, take a break. And then the Shema, v'yim Shemoya are on the left.
So this is the source of the ambiguity?
This is not the source of the ambiguity. This is the source of the famous Rabbeinu Tam Shita. Rabbeinu Tam says that I'm going to learn Rashi, I'm going to learn Pshat in this Braisa differently than Rashi. How am I going to do that? I'm looking at the tefillin. I start from the right. Kaddish Li v'yim Kaviecha. And I make a full stop. Now I go to the left side of the tefillin, and I start counting again. This time I begin with Shema, and then Vahoye Im Shemaya. Which means that, assuming that you look at all these as 1, 2, 3, 4, Kaddish Li is 1, Vahoye Kiviecha is 2, Shema is 3, Vahoye Im Shemaya is 4, now you're going to have it in reverse. You're going to have Kaddish Li, Vahoye Kiviecha is going to be 1 and 2, and then starting all the way at the other end, I've seen the pictures, thank you, and starting it all the way at the other end, instead of having then the 3 and the 4, it's going to be, 3 is going to be number 4. In other words, the final, on the outside, the final compartment is going to be the Shema, and then coming closer into the middle of the tefillin will be V'hoyim Shemaya. So therefore, we're reversing the last two, the V'hoyim Shemaya. Ah, based on that, that's why the Braisa says, on the right hand side, you're starting from the right, if you're starting from the left, then you go and start Shema, and then V'hoyim Shemaya, and then as a result, you have the two V'hoyas straight in the middle. That's a, I'm sorry?
The two what?
V'hoyas. You have V'hoya Kiviyacha and the V'hoya Im Shemaya. Instead of, according to Rashi, V'hoya Im Shemaya is number four, V'hoya Im Shemaya becomes now number three. And Shema becomes number four. Why is that? Because I'm starting to count a new counting from the left-hand side, where Shema is going to be the one that's the most to the left, and then the one closer to the middle is going to be the V'hoya Im Shemaya, and therefore I'm going to have the V'hoya Kiviyacha as number two. V'hoyim Shemaya will be number three, and Shema will be number four.
Is this the order for the hands as well? Or
yeah, it's the same thing, same thing. So now the only question is, this is Rabbeinu Tam. Does anybody else agree with Rabbeinu Tam? Rabbeinu Tam says, sure. So if you take a look quickly at the bottom toys, this, we're not going to go through the whole toys, so don't get nervous. Kori kori kisidram, pirish bekuntris, kisedish en ksubim batoira, muktim muktim ma'ucha ma'uchar, and therefore we go straight Hilka Chodik Tani Le'el Kaddish Vayikaviyacha Miyamin Miyaminishal Koyrei Ko'amar. That means the one that is facing it. V'hashti Kishu Koyrei Kedarkoi Miyaminil Ismoilei Nimtza Koyrei Koyrei Kisidran. So Tosis is now just explaining the Rashi and explaining the last three words of the Brayis of a Koyrei Koyrei Kisidran. When you're reading it straight Keseder like you have in the Torah in terms of the order. V'koshul Rabbeinu Tam. That my pulginu shekodesh tein rishoyin is miyamin, v'chol achroin is mismail. Hayulaymar, we should have said rishoyin miyamin. Not the first one that is on the yamin, that is kaddish li. V'chol achroin is mismail, and the others just continue on. Oyibcha the gimel rishoyin is miyamin or avias mismail. Say that the first three are yamin, and that final one all the way at the end is the mismail. Goyni brings a ray from Ner Maravi. Look now at the middle of the first wide line. That's number one. In other words, that's number four, the very, very final one. Bibachut means at the end of the four compartments on the top tefillin, on your tefillin shorosh. V'acharel means now moving backwards towards the first two. V'ayim shemaya mibifnim. Now the Lashon of the Braisa at the beginning works very nicely. That the first two are on the right, and the second two are on the left, and you start the second two starting from number four, Shema, number three, Vahim Shemaya, and then Vahim Shemaya meets its Chaver number two, which is Vahim Kiviyecha. Okay, V'chein Pesh Rabbein Chananel, B'Sanhedrin, etc. And then skip another line, V'chein Rav Haigoin, also had the same tefillin in the same order, but yemeiniach simen, and he made a simen havayis lahadodi. What means havayis lahadodi? In Mesechtes Kedushin, Mesechtes Gittin, the Gemara brings over there yemakish havayi liyitzia, which is a hekish between Hilchas Kedushin and Hilchas Gittin. But the Gemara also says sometimes we're makish havayis lahadodi. Havayis means the kinyonim that a person needs to accomplish, needs to perform if he wants to get married. We know that the three possible kinyonim, kesef, pishtar, ubebiya, and the Gemara says we are makish one to the other, teach us various halachas. So now on a play of words, it's a nice pun, if you will, makish avayis adodi is that you have v'hoya kiviyecha, v'hoya mishamoya, pnimiyois, next to each other, zuaitzel do, and so therefore they have become bonded, so to speak, in the tefillin. So that's what he means, makish avayis adodi, that these two are smuchen one next to each other. Good. The only problem is with the final v'hakoyre koyre kisidran. According to Rashi, that works very, very beautifully, because koyre kisidran means when you're reading out the four parashiyas, if I would had x-ray vision, I'd say, oh, that first one is Kaddish, second one is Vayi Kaviyacha, the third one is Shema, the fourth one Vayim Shemaya. According to Toysis, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that doesn't work as well, because that's not Koyri Kisidran. The way Rabbeinu Tam has in his tefillin is Kaddish Li, Vayi Kaviyacha, and then you have the Vayim Shemaya, and then you have the Shema. So Tois is Muchitzach Medayim, and Itaka tries to give an answer how to for emphasis Vakoyre Kori Kesidra. But bottom line is that's the famous machloikis that we have, and that's why, according to, as Gemara is going to say and momentarily, Omer Chananel Omer Rav Hechlef Parshiyaseh Psulois. If you switched around the order of the parishes, the tefillin is possible. Oh, and therefore, according to Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin is possible. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi's tefillin is possible. The Beis Yosef on the tour, which is the same as the Maran HaMachaber, as you know, in Shulchan Aruch, brings a story that they found next to the Ma'ara, or next to the Kever of Yishai HaNavi, a pair of tefillin that apparently had been put there in Geniza, in the Shemes. They opened it up and they found it was exactly like Rashi's tefillin. Mm-hmm. So everybody said, oh, you see that Rashi is right, and Rabbeinu Tam is wrong. However, says the Beis Yosef, others said that the reason why it was put in Geniza was put in Shemes because it was incorrectly in the Seder. It wasn't done in the Seder like you're supposed to. Says the Bach, that's a fascinating story, but if in fact the reason for the psul was because it was in the wrong order, so then they could have reordered it. You know, you didn't have to leave it in that order. Okay, anyway, this is already a historic machloikis, and in fact, in the Mefarshim, they bring that this doesn't start with Rashi Beit Tam. This is already in the Zohar HaKadosh. Prior to that, you already find this machloikis between even earlier greats, so to speak. So, it's a machloikis by Klal Yisrael, and in Shulchan Aruch it's brought that if a person wants to be a Yirei Shamayim, he should go and wear both pairs of tefillin. Among many of the Sfardim, especially the Taimanim, they wear them simultaneously. According by the Ashkenazim, if and when they wear the two pairs, then they wear one after the other, not together. Everybody wears Rashi first, because everybody assumes the halacha is like Rashi.
That's when they're separated. Shaila. But when they put it together,
so we have other iterations from the.
There
right
are other iterations, and those you can review afterwards and figure out why they're. The Vilna Goyen writes in Maaser Rav, yes, it's a wonderful thing to go mi machmir and to wear both. However, based on those other iterations to which you are referring, he says there's the possibility of up to 64 different types of tefillin. Therefore, if you wanted to be yoitza every single one, you'd have to wear 64 every single day.
Don't you have to wear one close to the heart?
And is that good or bad?
What?
Is that good or bad?
No, it's good.
Okay.
But if you're over here, it's...
Yeah, it's more difficult, yeah.
Excuse me, you said that the Tzvun Shel Yad are in the same, are conformed to the same structure as the Tzvun Shel Rosh.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that the Tzvun Shel Yad in Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin goes Kashli, Vahivacha, Vahayim Shamo Ashma. That's not Kesidron, it's all one cloth.
100%, that's
so right. How could it be Kesidron on one cloth?
So you'll remember about 2 minutes ago when we were going through this, we said that according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Rosh of the Braisa works very nicely in the beginning, but the Kori Kesidron is much more difficult.
Okay.
And Toisus goes through 4 or 5 or 6 lines to try to infer how did that exactly work. But it certainly does not mean a Kori Kesidron when you're looking at that one long cloth. Of the Rash of the Shalyad, that means that it's in the right order because it's not it's in the right order of the way the Braisa presents it, but it's not in the right order the way it's enumerated in the Torah. According to Rabbeinu Tam, according to Rashi, it works perfectly. According to Rabbeinu Tam, that those words are a little bit more difficult.
In the same time, yeah. One.
By the way, that's brought already in the Mechaber, this meaning of when they're both at the same time. No, these are two separate tefillin altogether. They're just,
they're small.
Those that wear them simultaneously are very small. So therefore, there's a room to go and put both of them. I've never done it, but they work it out. There's no hefsik in a ritzu on top of a ritzu. It's only hefsik if it's underneath the tefillin.
Why does the seder have a completely different order? Does it mean?
What, I'm sorry, what do you mean, seder? Yeah. I mean, in the Rabbi Shalom, I'm not responsible for
when
that.
They have
I only have to get through the daf.
When they have it like that, they...
No, it's not even Rashi's.
What are you reading?
He wants it. Shem Yichud.
When they put it like this, it's called tefillin.
That was a good point.
Thank you.
The din of hefsik doesn't apply to ritzus; it only applies to tefillin itself. may ikar adin, a person could theoretically, when could theoretically wear your watch underneath the straps. It's not the minhag. People take the watch off. However, mitzvah ikar adin, it is not a hefsek. So if a person, for instance, has chas v'sholom a wound and a cast, fine, or even without a cast, he has a big band-aid, you can just go. You can't put the tefillin on top of that. Right. That is a real hefsek. But in terms of straps, you can go and strap
around. Straps are
yeah, exactly.
So they're not important.
I wouldn't say that important, but they don't rise to that. Okay, I'm sorry. Me ikra din you can, but the minig is everybody removes it.
And certainly a ring also is not, because it's by the ritzua, it's not a problem. Me ikra din. A wedding band.
I understand what you're asking. Question. Yeah, speak to your confidence.
This year, they tell me yeshiva boys don't wear wedding bands.
Okay. They weren't married to my wife.
That's why the women do not wear tefillin, because you shouldn't have that issue. Okay. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, Omer Rav Chananel, Omer Rav Hechlef Parshi Yaseh Psulais. If you switched around the parsha, it's possible. Omer Abay Eliyah Morin, Ella Gviyasa Libriyasa Ubriyasa Ligviyasa, Avgiyasa Ligviyasa, Briyasa Briyasa, Les Lon Ba. I know it sounds a little bit strange, but it's all very simple. Gviyasa means the middle two, Briyasa means the outer two. Milabar Milagav, Bar means the outside. So says Abay, even though we just said in the name of Chananel Bar Rav, Omer Rav, that if you switched around the parashas, it's possible, it depends on which parashas you switched. Kviyasa means number two, because that's kviyasa, that's the inner ones. Priyasa means the outer ones. If you switch number two with number one, then you're in trouble. Same thing as priyasa and kviyasa. If you switch the outer ones with the inner ones, it's really saying the same thing, it's just repeating it twice. If you go and switch the inner one, let's to make it sound like we're covering all four, if you switch two and one, that's a problem. That's echel paris yisav. Ubriyos will give yos. If you switch four and three, that you're taking the four and you're putting it in three instead of putting it in four. Problematic, it's possible. Ah, well, givios will give yos. If you switch around two and three, of course, those are both the middle ones. Ubriyos will give yos at one and four, less than one. That's a shinishka problem. That is kosher.
So you have Kaddish, Vayim Shemoa. That would be. That seems not to work at all. It doesn't make sense.
Good. So that's Rava. Amalei Rava. Maishna gviyasa lebriyasa ubriyasa gviyasa deloy. Why are you telling me that there's a problem with two and one and three and four and four and three and one and two? Deloy dehach deboy lemechsi avira loy kachazia. Because the one that's supposed to see the avir, that's just kind of a metaphor, a euphemism, that he means the outer ones, the one that are supposed to see the outer, they don't get the ear, they're stuffed in the middle, in the inner sanctum, in the inner parshias, inner compartments. And the one that's not supposed to see the vir, kochazia does see it, and therefore he probably has to go and wear a sweater, because he's not used to being out in the cold, out in the avir. If that's your concern, briyasa, briyasa, gviyasa, gviyasa, nami. Have the same cheshbon there too. Hach de bayi lemechsi avira diyamin, the one that's supposed to be in the right hand side, which is our kaddishli. Now kochazi avira small, he sees it from the other direction. He's now being switched around to the other side. Udismol kochazi avira diyamin. They're going to get all crazy. They're going to get all mixed up. And they didn't have a ways system, so the right is going to be in the left. The left is going to be in the right. El loisha makes absolutely no difference if you switch one for four and two for three and two for four and one for four. Doesn't make a difference. Whichever order you're going to switch it, it's always going to be possible. Now, what does Abaye hold? Both Abaye and Rava both hold that it's all based on Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, and Abaye's Kabbalah and Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai was that there's only a problem if you have the Gviyasa and the Briyasa, that an inner one gets mixed up with an outer one. But if two inner ones get mixed, makes no difference. Two outer ones get mixed, makes no difference. Says Rava, that's not our Kabbalah and Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. Our Kabbalah was that don't switch any of them in any order whatsoever. Period. So that's the end of that shtickel. Dari, you still have a question? Everything is resolved.
No. Thank you, Rabbi.
Baruch Hashem. Right. We start off from Chanan al-Murav. Yom Rav Chanan al-Murav. Tisura, the tefillin halach l'moish mi-Sinai. What is the tisura? Tisura is the bottom. Here you have, think about this as being the bottom of the tefillin. You have on top of it that nice cube on top. Mm-hmm. That is what's called usually the ketzitza. That's where you have your four parshias. In the Tefillin Shel Rosh, of course, it's cut up with the Charitzin into four separate compartments. In the Tefillin Shel Yad, it's only just one compartment with all the four there inside. That's the Ketzitz on top. The base underneath is called the Tisura. So that Tisura is Ulta Loch Al Moshe. You know, that you have to have that. Even though it doesn't say it anywhere in the Torah, it just says that you have to have, for the Tetofis Bein Enecha, it doesn't say exactly what the structure is. Well, I'm telling you what the structure is. It's a Loch Al Moshe. You know, you have to have that bottom to the upper compartment that you go and attach together. And Omer Abayi Mavarta the Tefillin Aloch HaMosh V'Sinai. Mavarta is the portion in back of the Tisura where you have the strap of the Tefillin going through. You could theoretically pull and push all the time. Most of us don't. We just leave it in place. But the Mavir is almost like a tunnel that you can go and stretch it and move it from one side of the tunnel to the other. That's called the Mavarta in the back. That's also Aloch HaMosh V'Sinai. That's that you have that shin on the outside of the tefillin on both sides is also halacha l'moshe misinai. The Gemara doesn't say, but the Rishonim already say that also not only the shin the way we have it, but also the four letter shin, the four pronged. Very good, thank you. The four pronged shin on the tefillin is also loch l'moshe sinai. Now the question is, where does that come from? So it says in some of the Forshim that since it has four prongs, don't look at the black, in other words, don't look at the letter sticking out, but look rather at the hefsik in between, the ear space in between, and then you can make up, conjure in your mind that that in fact is also a shin of three. What's the benefit of having the four? So that you look in between the letters and you get the shin of three, because they say that that is a remez to the luchais, that the luchais were also not written in ink, they're also engraved, and so therefore the engraving
or in between.
Would, in between, so you have now the three, so therefore when you look upon the tefillin, you can think and see between the four prongs, the three pronged hidden shin, which is kind of more subdued as a result of the fact
negative
that
it's... Negative space is what we call it.
Oh, the negative space! Oh, whoa. Baruch Hashem!
Whoa.
You positive it's called negative? Sorry?
Three?
You have the four... two sides of the film. One has the three prongs, right? The other side has four prongs. Yeah.
The Luchot.
The Luchot had three, but the Luchot, they didn't have three in terms of actual writing. It was engraved. If you need to know more about engraving, you have one of the world's experts in engravery, and therefore, it's since it was engraved, so it wasn't bolate, it wasn't
protruding,
but rather it was subdued. So therefore, when you have the four-letter, four-pronged shin, it's also subdued in between, so it reminds us of the luchais.
And Barry said it's in negative space.
In negative space, right. Exactly. Thank you. Are you positive he said that? Yes.
Oh,
here we go again.
Positively.
Okay. The Gemara is going to say on the Amid Beis, a very famous member of Reb Lezer Hagudel, that Bro Kol Ami Ya'aretz Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Olecha V'yoru Mimecha. That the Umas Ha'olam are going to go and see that you're wearing the tefillin on top. Bro Kol Ami Ya'aretz Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Olecha. They're going to see that tefillin V'yoru Mimecha. So Rashi already brings in the Amid Beis that where did they see the Shem Hashem Nikra Olecha? Because since you have the shin on the side, and you have in back, you have the kesher of the dalit, that's really two-thirds of the shem shakai that you have the shin, and the dalit, of course, you have the yud on the tefillin shel yad. So therefore, that's the shem Hashem nikra lecha, you see the shem Hashem, the shin, and the dalit. The Rabbeinu Bechaya ala toira goes one step further, and he says that the words shem Hashem nikra is Rashi Tevis, Shem is a Shin, Hashem is Yud Kevavke is a Yud, Nikra is a Nun, so you have the Shin Yud Nun. They're going to see that Shin on the top, the Rashi Tevis of Shem Hashem Nikra. Anyway, that's the Inyan of having the Shin. Haloch L'mayt V'sina. V'tzor She'agiyah Chritz L'mokim HaTfar. We already discussed yesterday, and everybody knows from their Tefillin that they have the Charitzin on the Tefillin Shel Rosh. Charitzin identify the four different compartments. How far down does that charitz have to go? Says our Gemara, till the tvar, meaning till the tisura, till the bottom. So don't just do kind of just,
hang out there.
Just on the surface a little bit, to just to go and show, well, we have four charitzim. No. Got to all the way to the bottom. However, Rav Dimon Edo, Amar Kim, the Minka Loitzarech, as long as you have some sort of heker, symbolic, I see that there are different parshas. I see the different compartments. I don't have to have the charitzin all the way down to the bottom. Mm-hmm. Halfway would also be good. Well, the ma'aseh we paskin like the first man, the yama, that should go all the way down to the tefach.
But the charitzin, they don't permeate the ore, do they? You can't like separate.
Yeah,
you can.
Take a look at the picture in the art school. They show. Yeah, they make this filling. Go back a few days. They show them how they form them in a mold.
In a mold with pressure.
You got it.
You got a picture. Maybe
you have a note. Was it 34B2?
Yeah, I see.
And for those of you, can go to the factory there. They'll take you on a tour. They'll show you how they do it with pressure in a mold.
And for those of you that think that this is something new that they do with a mold, Rashi already brings it yesterday's daf on the fourth and fifth line from the top of the Yomid. B'dalet batim ba'or echad shemafshitin. Eagle cotton, you go and take the hide of an eagle cotton, the Mephoshim say lav dafka, only because it's soft and it's pliable and flexible. And you take a chatichas or a menichan oisi bitfus, you put a tak in such a mold, such a form, sheyesh boy kemin dalet etzbois. The interesting look of that form is that it looks like it has four fingers coming up. Menichan oisi liabish al etfus, and you leave it in there for a while until it dries out in the tfus, and then the tfus, and they take the mold off. Then, presto, you have already the four batim as they come out of the tfuz. And as we're going to learn in the Gemara shortly, what they used to do is, it wasn't just the upper part of the tefillin that was in that form, but also the form continued on, and from all sides, in other words, you put it into the mold, into the form, but you had hide and skin sticking out. Eventually, when it dried up, you took it out. You snipped off the right and the left and the front, which was unnecessary. And the back you left, and then you took that back and you turned it over. And that becomes the base, the artisura, for the tefillin on top. So it's all one shtick, one large piece of ur. And the top is formed because of taka the mold. And then the bottom one afterwards, they fold over. And then they put it together by sewing and stitching it. But getting back to our Gemara, Nachamu, Sezukti Gemara. Thank you. V'yom Rabbi, Hai Kilfo the Tefillin, Tzorach Lemivdike. When the Sofer is about to go and write the Tefillin on the Klav, he should first check out the Klav, the Dilma Isbe Reyesa. Maybe it has in it a Reyesa. Reyesa normally means a blemish. Here, however, Rashi says whether it has a hole. In other words, take it up to the light, make sure there are no holes in that cloth.
It's not good enough.
Number one, and number two, because you don't want it to be too holy. Mm-hmm. You want it to be holy, but not with physical holes. However, says the Gemara, we have uksav tom, so that's biksiva tama. You don't want to have any problems with holes. Ravdi Menedor, Omar, apparently Ravdi Menedor may have been a soifer, and he says, Abaye, with all due respect, you don't really need it. As you're writing with your quill, you'll quickly see if there's going to be a hole. It'll be a hole. You're going to feel it as you are writing. So therefore, you don't have to make a special bedika, look it up. You'll see as you're going through. The fact that you have the ritzuos that are black, that's all to lacha moshe v'sinai. In other words, don't make it other colors. Black ritzuos. Black straps. Meisvei. We have a braisa directly on point. Tefillin, first of all, ein koshen oisan ele b'minon. In other words, don't have tefillin straps made out of silk or made out of wool or cotton. They got to be minon, from leather.
There were people who did that.
I'm sure. And now we're saying that tefillin have to be ben yeroikos, ben shchoyros, ben levonos. All of those are fine. Green and black and white. No issue, no problem.
But not red.
That's going to be the next Gemara.
Oh, okay.
You've read it before we had a chance to read it. Anyway, so we see, of course, immediately the Kasha. Rabbi Yitzchak says it's got to be black. And here it says in the price, black on white, that it can be green, or it can be black, and it can be white. And presumably other colors as well.
Yeah.
The straps. Everything we're talking about is the straps. Now the question is, what about Adumais? Red lo yasa. Ne gnai the dover acher, because it's a gnai involved, as well as dover acher. The Gnai is understandable. The Dover Acher is mind-boggling. What do I mean? Let's take a look at the Rashi. What are the problems? Adumas Layaser, Rashi is about one line below where we are in the Gemara. Adumas Layaser, Ne Gnai, what's the Gnai? Shem Yoimru, Gardon Hu. Maybe they're going to go and say that this person happens to be a weaver. Umidam Chatotav, Nitzbu, the Hedimu Haritzois. I don't know why Rashi gets into the Gardon aspect. The important thing is that Rashi is saying that perhaps this individual has Chatotim. Chatotim means scabs or cuts in on his head, and the blood which is flowing from it, and as he puts his tefillin on with the ritzuas around the head, it's going to go and get reddened from those chatotim, from those scabs, or from those cuts, and therefore, that's why people will say it got all red, and therefore it's a genai for the tefillin, and for the wearer of the tefillin, that's what people are going to go and say.
It would be more sensible to say so about the tefillin shel yad, because the ritzuas be on the arms. And a weaver, his arms would get cut as he's weaving, doing his malacha. So it's more likely they were talking about on the tefillin shel yad than shel
rosh. Well, you'll see for the next one. Okay.
Okay. It gets worse.
Number one, it gets worse. Okay. And number two, lav dafke. We're only talking about the tefillin shel rosh because the Gemara is going to focus on that later on. Okay. But you're right. The ritzuas of both the tefillin shel rosh and the tefillin shel yad are both the same in that respect, that they both have to be only black, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, and they have to be made out of leather, according to the Braisa. V'dover acher, this is the mind-boggler, shem yoimru ishtoi nida bo'al v'nitzba'u badam. That maybe he was living with his wife as he was wearing his tefillin, and she was a nida, and some blood came out, and somehow the blood got to the ritzuas of the tefillin. That will really be embarrassing. That's a dover acher.
He was strapped for time.
Whatever it is. But then bottom line is, it's unusual. So therefore, don't make them red. You can make them black, green, and white. Now, before we get to talk about the colors, which we just discussed, we're first going to talk about the material. That the Braisa begins, in koshen oisen ela b'minan, which means from leather. Om Rabbi Yehuda, ma'asa b'talmidah shom Rabbi Kiva. I remember there was a story, a famous story, Talmidah shom Rabbi Kiva, shom yekosher tefilov b'lishoynes shol tcheles. He, in fact, had his ritzuos, not with ritzuos made out of leather, but made out of tcheles. Tcheles is the same as tcheles wool that you have on the tzitzis. So he had blue woolen tzitzis coming down from his tefillin.
That was the straps, right?
That was the straps. I guess he was strapped for funds. He couldn't afford to get the leather, and that's why he got the tcheles. Well, maybe in that time it wasn't. Maybe that's the reason how he got strapped for funds, because he spent more money for the tcheles. Chvesnish. Anyway, so that's what the Talmud did. And Rabbi Kiva was silent and didn't say a word. After Oitzi Tzadik, the grace of Rabbi Kiva, Ruah Talmidah V'lei Michabai, impossible, is the Charayit. It doesn't have to be made out of leather. It can be made out of other materials as well. Amalai Hen, you're 100% right. The reason why Rabbi Kiva didn't say anything is Leiro Oisai. It's because Yitaka didn't see. Rabbi Kiva was looking in his sitter the whole time, or he was looking at the Mizrachvant, and therefore he didn't see that Talmud was thinning in the back or something. Vimro Oisai, if he would have seen that, he would be screaming, he'd be moichin, say, no, I'm on Talmud, you're Tunish, it's got to be made out of leather. And the similar story, almost word for word, Masa Behorkinis Ben Oisher Blaze Ben Horkinis, that's the famous Blaze that you have throughout Shas. Now we identify him being Reblazer ben Horkinus. He had a son, Horkinus, presumably, because Reblazer called his son after his father. If he was a Sephardi, even if his father was alive, he would go and call his son after his father, and if he was an Ashkenazi, he'd send that. His father apparently passed away. It doesn't make a difference. But the point is, Shoyakosha Tfilov, Lushoyne Shel Argamon. He didn't go and use tcheles, but he used the purple wool. And once again, the father didn't say anything to the son. Is that possible? What you're saying is correct. He would have been moich and said, that's not the way you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to be making ritzuas out of that. Okay. We got off on a tangent. Let's get back to the kasha. Rabbi Yitzchak says it has to be dafka black, and here it says it can be virtually any color, but not red. After more ketani mia, that's the kasha. Ketani mia, it says in the price ben yoyikin pichoyis ben levanois. What's Rabbi Yitzchak going to do with this price? It's more like kasha nishver. Kam b'mefnim, kam mibachut. It all depends on which side of the strap you're talking about. The strap that everybody sees from the outside, that's got to be black. Don't start up with other colors. However, the bibifnim, in other words, that part that is closer to your body, whether it's on the tefillin shel yad that you're strapping on your arm, or whether you have them hanging down and the side that is closer to your body, that's the mibifnim, that one you already have an assortment of colors. You can go and get white, and you can go get black, and you can get green. But mibachutz, it's got to be all uniform black. Frei timura, even mibifnim, if you're talking about that side which is typically hidden, my genai v'dover acharika. What could be the problem that people say, oh, he got it from Bruce, I'm sorry?
Nobody sees it.
It's a big cover-up.
Right.
And therefore nobody will see it. Evidimor is in the mishapchen lay. Even happens to us from time to time. You go over to somebody and you straighten out his straps because they turned around to the other side. So about that on a regular basis, you won't see it. But so konzuchtrafen, you could have a situation where it does get turned around. And therefore, that's what the Bryce is saying. On the bottom, you can do any color, but don't do the red because of the Gnai V'Dabrach. Next, Tana. Tefillin merubois halach l'moish v'sinai. That the tefillin have to be, they are meruba. Meruba means that they have to be square. That's halach l'moish v'sinai. Amra Papa b'tofran ubi alaksoinen. Rav Papa says it has to be square, not only in the tefira. Tefira means when you stitch them up. Alaksoinen. Ulti, you should be able to go and do an alaksoin, where you have the hypotenuse. Exactly. So it's going to be at that point 1.4, which was Chazal always rounded down. It's really 1.4, 1.4, and it goes on for 100 numbers. Yeah, the pi squared, without whole geshaft. But the mice, that's the sheer tofren v'alaksayin. What is he trying to say with the tofren v'alaksayinan? So the art scroll has, I believe, even a picture that it shouldn't be like, what they call it, a rhombus or something like that. What's a rhombus? Mm-hmm. That it could also be square, but not...
It has four equal sides, but they're
right
not...
Angle.
They're not right at all, right angle.
Parallelogram?
It's a, yeah, something like that.
But so it's a what's it called?
What equilateral?
It's equilateral, but it's not right angle.
Good. Anyway, so that's what he's trying to tell us. It's got to be real square, and nishka rhombus is, and nishka parallelograms, and nishazoi, and therefore you kind of measure it to make sure it's exactly the way it's supposed to be. Lema Messiah, let's taka bring a raya that it has to be taka square. What's the raya? It says in the braisa, oisa tfilosei agula, if you make your tefillin agula, means round, it's a sakana. Ve'inba mitzvah. What's a sakana we'll see momentarily, but there's no mitzvah involved. Meaning, because if you make it round, it's not square. Also have a raya, the Messiah, it's got to be square and not round. Amra Papa, you have no raya. The Masnisa, that you're quoting, Davida ki emgoiza. The word emgoiza is like the word egoiz. Egoiz, of course, is a nut. But in particular, we're probably talking about almonds. How are they shaped? They come to a point on the bottom. So if you have tefillin, which look really nice and beautiful, nice in terms of being circular and being like a ball,
a sphere.
But if it comes down with pointed down like an egoist, unfortunately, Rashi says, if you happen to have a lower mashkoif, or if a person happens to be rather tall, he might not even realize when he goes from through the door, he might hit the mashkoif, and the mashkoif is going to push down on his tefillin. And chas v'sholom, if on the bottom it happens to be pointy, like an almond, chas v'sholom, it could pierce his skull. Because as we know, the mokum tefillin, the Gemara always says, it's a mokum the moyach shel tinoik roifes, that is very, very soft by a young child.
Very important point.
Very important point. So that's why it's the sakana that we spoke about a moment ago. But Lamaisa, that really doesn't tell us anything about the square, because what we could do theoretically, says Rashi, according to this Braisa, is make that the tisura, that is the base on the bottom, make that base should be nice and flat, so you don't have the problem of chas v'sholom piercing the skull. And on top of that, you can have such a beautiful round tefillin. That's why Rav Papa had to say, no, it's got to be tefillin merubois, and it's got to be tofren v'alachsoinan. Don't tell me anything about roundness. So that you don't have a raya from the Braisa, because the Braisa is talking about that even the bottom they did pointed, and that's not the point that we're trying to make. It's got to be square. Good. Amravuna, tefillin kol zman shepnei tavla kayemis is ksheirais. Pnei tavla means the outside of the tefillin. Just make sure that it's all still pnei, that the face of it is all in place. Meaning that tefillin, after a while, they could start peeling and or they could start ripping or tearing. If they rip or tear, nishgut. As long as pnei tavla, the tablet, the form from the outside is kayemis, it's all intact, it's kusha. Now, Rav Huna is referring to the outside. Rav Chizda is now going to the inside of the tefillin, and Rav Chizda Omar Nifsiku Shtayim Ksheiros Sholesh Psulais, meaning that inside the tefillin you have the four compartments. We're talking about the tefillin Shel Roish, four compartments. What happens if one of the compartments gets ripped inside? Now, you and I are not going to see it from the outside. We're going to have to wait until the soifer or somebody opens up the tefillin and see what's going on. But if and when they open it up and they see that there are two which are torn, that's still kosher. Three which are torn are possible. Now, what does exactly mean two and three? Amar Rava, Hadi Amishtaim, Ksheiris Le'amorin, Elazeh, Shaloi, Kenegedzeh. If the two compartments are not facing each other. Elazeh, Kenegedzeh, it's Psulais. Now, what does that exactly mean? Zeh, Shaloi, Kenegedzeh, Zeh, Kenegedzeh. So Rashi himself gives two pshatim. If you look at the Rashi, three lines before the wide lines, all the way in the bottom. Shtayim, shnei defanois, b'shnei batim, ze shaloi keneged ze. What does that mean, ze shaloi keneged ze? Kigoyin shenifzik bayis rishoin, u bayis gimel, v'yechad sholem b'neim. Oh, so we had the 1, 2, 3, and 4. Bayis 1 has a problem with its wall. Probably third bayis, number 3, has a problem with its wall. But the one in the middle is exactly intact, totally fine, totally good. So therefore, then it's not a problem when we said shtei defanes are kosher. That's ze shloi kenegedze. Ze kenegedze batim asmuchay. Oh, 1 and 2, which are next to each other. Uh-huh. If both 1 has a break in the wall and number 2 has a break in the wall, even though it might not be the same wall in between, could be the one number 1 has the right, all the way to the right, its wall is broken. Number 2, its left hand wall is broken. So therefore, you cannot see from one into the other, so to speak. Nevertheless, zeh keneged zeh, says Gemara, would be possible. That's pshat. What? Lishnachrin zeh keneged zeh, betoich avir, charitz echad nifsak, doifin bayez zeh. V'doifin bayez sheh kenegdoi. Meaning that we're talking about in the same compartment, the breaks see each other. Mm-hmm. How do they break see each other? Because each one of the compartments has a wall to the right and a wall to the left. Mm-hmm. So if the wall on the right is broken, the wall on the left is broken, so they have two breaks, but they are parallel to one another. Zeh keneged zeh, no good. Zeh shaloi keneged zeh, shenifzik zeh bi'avir echad, zeh bi'avir acher. That this one tak is broken, but it's broken up higher on the totem pole, and this one lower. She'en kera royis chaveiroi. So the two kroy, meaning the two openings, the two tiers, don't see each other. Shabbayis matzik b'neim, because you have in between the bottom of each one of the walls, etc. So in other words, they're not exactly parallel. In some of the newer art scroll gemaras, they have 4 or 5 different pictures exactly. So it doesn't require that much of brain power to be able to envision what it looks like.
In the case of an outer bias of a shvon shel rosh, if there's a hole on the outer wall, doesn't that possible tefillin? I mean, if there's even one hole on the outside, you have a hole in the tefillin in the outside, the outer.
So Rav Huna says the whole Pnei Tavla has to be kayamis.
Right. So here, and here we're saying that
Rav Chizda is talking only about inner walls.
Okay.
What the definition of Tavla kayamis is, the Mefarshim say it's ripped. It doesn't say what degree of ripping.
Okay.
It has a hole, it's just part of it. It doesn't, okay. Agamar doesn't. For that, you have to look in Shulchan Aruch. Right, Omarov Hadiam Steinkshire, we already said that, can never psula. The Zekenegze Nami Leamon, when did we say Zekenegze is possible? Elabachadita. If it's brand new, Albatikta less lumba. But if it's old, it doesn't apply. Okay. Now you're wondering what means new and what means old. Come there by the Yosef, Echidami Chadita, Echidami Artikta. Give me an example. Omalekal Hechadhi, Misli Bey, Bishalcha, Bahadur Cholim Artikta. Kimisli Bey Bishalcha, what misli means to go and pull. Bishalcha means on the oir, and you pull it with the tefirois. In other words, you have, as you know, the stitches all around the the ketitza. That is where the four compartments are, or the one compartment down below by the tefillin shel yad. Anyway, when you go and pull on it, then what happens is it kind of shrinks a little bit, and then you let it go, and then automatically it gets back to normal again. That, says the Gemara, that would be a case of atikta, an old one.
Either you pull the box?
You're pulling on the box, exactly. And that box, as you're pulling on it, kind of shrinks a little bit and moves to your direction. However, afterwards when you release it, then it snaps back. The Gemara calls that atikta. The either anything else is called chadetata. However, if you think about it logically, l'chayra, there's much more flexibility with newer tefillin than with older tefillin.
Right, because once it dries out, it's stiff.
So in fact, there's another girsa over here. I have a my Gemara Gimel and Dalet. No, the Goyis and all these Shittim Mekubetzes, each one is a little bit different. So you have to figure out where the Gimel Dalet. But the Shittim, there's a Shittim Mekubetzes that brings this Gemara, and it says it's punkt verkehrt. It says just what we just said now is not that it should say Hadacholim, that's the that is the Chadetetah, the Idach, that's the Atikta. Let's see if I can locate it. In my Gemara, it's Shittim Mekubetzes Ois Dalet, Cholim Atikta, which is about 10 lines in. Nusach Acher, Cholim is Chadeta, the Einach Atika. Just the opposite. Cholim means that if it now springs back into its original position,
it hasn't dried out
that's the new one. The Einach, anything which is so hard that it doesn't move and it doesn't go back and forth, that's the Atikta, that's the old one. Okay, the Machloik is a two. The Inami, I can give you another example. Kol Heichedachi Misli Bey, the Masna Asya Abasrei Chadeta, the Idach Atikta. What does this mean? It's similar. If you look at the top Rashi, inami kolech the mislim matna kisha oiches odem b'rtzua, as he's holding on to the tzua hatluye behen v'asa tefillin abasrei. So here we're not talking about the actual tefillin itself or the actual stitching around, but you're pulling on the tzuas. And as you're and the article adds, and there's somebody else that's holding on to the tefillin box itself. So one is pulling on the tzuas, and the other one's holding it. Ve'ena niskin. And it doesn't tear automatically. You know, you're pulling and pulling on the tzuas, and the other one's holding on to the tefillin. There's a tug of war going on. But if it doesn't automatically snap, chadata, that's brand new. It means that it's still fresh. It's still
flexible.
Still some flexibility. The idach, however, if you're going to go and pull, and the other person holds on to the bias, shenitkin, then it tears, and atika, then you know that it's old. Lishnachrina asi abasrei shemispashedu or havi chadatata. That if you're pulling on the straps, and then you see as a result the or of the tefillin itself also seems to now stretch a little bit, that means it's brand new. Because once it gets old, it's not going to stretch at all. It'll either stay in place or a little break, but it's not going to go and stretch. Okay. Dr. Muravaita. Abaye have Yosef coming there of Yosef. Abaye was sitting in front of Yosef. Ifsik lay ritzu de tefili, and one of his ritzuas tore, unfortunately. Omalais, and now Abaye says, Rav Yosef, Mal the Mikdare, can I go and tie it? In other words, we're talking about the Ritzuas Lamashal that are coming down on the Tefillin Shorosh, and halfway down it tore. Can I go and take the two ends and tie them back up together as if they were two strings and tie them? Omalai, he said, Ukshartam, Ksiv, Shetehe, Kshira Tama. It's got to be Kshira Tama. So what means Kshira Tama? Rashi learned in the first Pshat, Kshira Tama means it's got to be Kshira Yofa. It's got to be nice. You're going to tie the two together. People are going to smile. And people are going to smirk and say, what's going on over here? Or another Pshat says, Rashi Kshira Tama, Ritzua Shleima V'le Kshira. The Kshira is not only talking about the Kesher, but it's talking about the whole Ritzua. The whole Ritzua has got to be Tama. It's got to be Gantz. And Nishka, not something which is torn. Torn, that's not Tama. Okay, so therefore, no good.
What's the minimum shear of the?
The Gemara is going to discuss that. Baruch Hashem. Omli Ravachem Breid Rav Yosel Ravashi Mal Lemitfarei. What instead of tying them together, what happens if you stitch the two pieces together, and you don't want to see the stitching because that in itself would take away from the yoifi? Violet Tfira Legav and make sure that they only have the stitches from the inside and not from the outside. Would that be acceptable? Omar Ravashi answered back to Ravacha. Go and look among the oilim and see what people say. Says Rashi, since that's not the minig, don't do it. In other words, do you see among all the other mispalim and shul anybody else that stitched it from the back? No. Did you ever hear of something like that? No. That means it's not done. So maybe me'ikra din would be permissible, but since oilim is knowing not to, don't do it. Omra Papa. Gardume Ritzuais Ksheiris. The Gardume Ritzuais means the parts of the Ritzua that are still hanging down after part of the Ritzua got cut off or fell off, those are still kosher. Now, the word Gardum, says Rashi, is like the word Shirayim. What's sticking down and hanging down from the Kesher of the Tefillin Shorosh, those gardumim are kosher. Of course, it doesn't tell us what the shear is, which what Barry asked about. The Gemara is going to discuss that shortly. However, that's not so simple. Why is it not so simple? Amri b'nei Reb Chiya, gardumi tcheles, v'gardumi eizoiv ksheirim. Ooh. When you're talking about gadumei tcheles, in other words, if you have some of your tzitzis are ripped, which of course is not uncommon, especially, says the Gemara is referring to tcheles, but lav dafka tcheles means that the tzitzis are not as long as when you bought them or when you made them initially, but rather part of it fell off. The gaduma is still kosher. The gadumei ezov is still kosher. Now what a gadumei ezov? Here we're talking about the pora aduma, and there it talks about that you have to have the Ezovishni Tolos, and you have to dip it in and then go and spritz it on someone. So that Ezov initially is nice, long hyssop, or whatever Ezov is in English, but after constant use, eventually some of it can get worn off. Kadumi Ezov are also kosher. So Lechoira, that's, so we see from there that Kaduma Markosha. But Hasam, who the Tashmishi Mitzvah Ninu, Avachat the Tashmishi Kedusha Ninu, Loi. Here, it's not just mitzvah. Here, it's Kedusha. The Kedusha is based on the fact that you have the parashias with Hashem's name in them from the Torah, inside the tefillin. So this is not just strings. Not that tzitzis is not important about it, but it's a mitzvah. It's not Tashmishi Kedusha. The Gabi Gniza, there are also differences between the two, as you know. Anyway, so bottom line is, don't bring me a raya from the Gardumi Tchei, the Gardumi Esav. From all of this discussion, there must be a shear, because if there's no shear, why even discussing this? Even a mashu would be enough. Obviously, a mashu is not enough, and that's why we're talking about these gardumim. The kamishirai, so tell me, what is this shear? Until the second finger meaning after the agudel, after the thumb, the pointing finger, the pointer, that's called the etzba tzerada. How did it get such an interesting name of Tzerada? Says Rashi, it got the name from Mesechtes Yevames. What do we find in Mesechtes Yevames? If a person has two wives, each wife is called a Tzara to the other. This pointing finger is a Tzara to the outside finger, to the agudel, the thumb. If you think I'm making this up, look in the Rashi, go down about 10 lines in the Rashi. It doesn't start off with the black of the dark font, but rather it's towards the end of Rashi. It says Tzerasa, Tzerada, Loshin Tzerasa, Dida. This second finger is the Tzara Shel Agudel, Behainu Etzba, Hasamach Legudel. So therefore the definition of Etzba Tzerada means the second finger, which is a Tzara to the first finger. But that really still doesn't tell us how long the Gardumim have to be. So now we have a Machlek, Rav Kahana Mechvi Kofuf, Rav Ashi Mechvi Poshut. They both agree that the pointing finger is the key for the purpose of the Gardumim, and we're talking about the space between the pointing finger and the next finger next to it. The question only is the next finger next to it, do we measure it between the second and the third finger, or do we measure it from the thumb to the second finger? And what's the difference between the second and third finger is much shorter. That's what Rav Ashi quotes poshut. Masha Enkin, the Gabi from the first to the second finger, that you have a much wider, perhaps it's double, and that's what Rav Kahana calls Mechvi Kofuf. If you take a quick look at the Rashi, Mechvi Kofuf, that's higher up than where we were just in the Tzerada, it's right next to our Gemara, Mechvi Kofuf. Oyre Choritzua Tehei Oidefes Al HaKesher, Kamashiyoch Livshoit Me Etzba Ad Oma. How much you can go and spread your fingers from the second to the third. Now, Oma is the middle finger, because that's how you measure your Amma all the way down to your elbow. Parshut is Kamashiyochel Livshoit Migudel Ad Etzba, from the Agudel, that's from the thumb until the second finger. To Legabi Etzba, the Goydel Havye Bepshita, Legabi Oma the Etzba, Bekfifa. When you're talking about the two fingers, it's Parshut. If you're talking about between the Etzba and the first one, that it's Kofuf, Lefisha, Me Etzba, the Gudel, Mispashit, Yoyser, Harbe, Me Bain Etzba, there's a much larger span between the first and the second finger than there is between the second and the third finger. Anyway, where do you measure that shear? From where it extends out of the Kesher on the back of the head. So you have the Kesher there. From that, of course, the way we have our tefillin straps, that go pretty far down in the front. But you don't, but the Eben, even if it comes down the span between the first and the second finger, the second and third finger, it's still kosher.
You mean from here
from where the kesher ends, right? You have a kesher, a dalit, or a mem.
Just a little stub there, just a little stub.
So if you have coming down from that, either this
just
amount,
like this,
just like this, down. Or just like this, that's sufficient. That's not l'chatchila. L'chatchila should come down. However, b'diavad, if it gets torn, you don't have to go and say, we'll have it. As long as you still have that amount, it's still kosher. It gives you a couple of days to call up the soifer or the Judaica store and to try to get new ritzus. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara.
By the tzitzis, we have it's Kedah
Niva. Exactly. That's right.
But it doesn't say that here. It just implies it.
It doesn't even address it here. Yeah. It just says that it's kosher. What the shear is, you have to look in the sugya to talk about tzitzis. And
waiting more than that. Next.
Oh, good.
Next part.
Zokti Moravayit Rabba Kotelahu Uposhit V'shodi Lahu. Okay, so now we're talking about how you're supposed to position the ritzuos initially after you bought your tefillin and you're wearing your tefillin. Where do you put those ritzuos that are hanging down from the back? So we're going to have a three-way machlekes. Rabba kotelahu uposhit v'shodi lahu. Rabba allowed for the ritzuos to just hang down on the back of him. In other words, you didn't even see the ritzuos in front. They came down from the kesher and back, and they were just draping the back of his body or the back of his jacket or his shirt or whatever. That's v'shodi lahu. He just threw them back. Not that he threw them, but he let them just flow downwards in the back. Ravacha b'yankav kotelahu umitlis lahu. He made them very fancy. He braided the two ritzuos, presumably in front of him, so it looked very, very nice and very presentable. I don't know what he did, if he did this on a daily basis, that would be kind of time-consuming. Maybe he just did it once and you were able to slip your head through it. But anyway, it was a matter of braiding one with the other. He doesn't like our minig, says Rashi, and our minig is that we have the ritzuos flowing in the front, not in the back, and not with a braid. Omer v'yir braid Rav Shmuel bar Shilas mishmei derav. Kesher shul tefillin aloch l'moshu b'sinai. The kesher of the tefillin, don't think that this the rabbis dreamed this up. No, that you have to go make a special kesher in the back, and you make it k'men dalid, that aloch l'moshu b'sinai, should she have the shin on the outside of the box on the top. You have the dalid here in the back of the head, and then you have the yud, which is that small little ritzua on the outside, which is attached to the tefillin shel yad on the outside. So that looks like a little yud, shin, dalid yud. So you have the shem shakai, and that's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. There are, of course, as you know, many people that don't have like a yud. It looks more like a mem, and that's because it's a double yud. In other words, a yud from one side, not a yud,
dalid.
Thank you. It's a dalid from the right and a dalid from the left. You put the two dalids together, and it comes like a mem. And some people have this minig, some people have that minig. Both of them are old minhagim and klai. So for those of you that have the mem and say, I want to really have it like a dalit, I know in skver, for instance, a very, very makbid has to be dafka, this double dalit, and not
that's what
like
it's called
a skver. Oh, very good, shkoyach, beautiful. Anyway, it came on the spur of the moment. Most of them do not use dalit. Most of them have the double dalit, which looks like a mem. They're also much easier to open and close when you want
to
go. You have to adjust the size. Right. The dalit is all. You have a picture too?
Yeah.
Oh, gewaldig. Thank you. Here you have it. Oh,
it looks like a square.
With a point.
See, you have over here two pictures. One that's a double and one that's a single. Right? You have a dalit. You see it? Everything okay? Good. All right. Yep. Everybody see it?
What is it most people have, or is there
a... I don't know if there's a percentage, but certainly among Hasidim is typically the double dalid, like the mem.
But it doesn't look like a dalid so much.
It's not my fault, you know. It wasn't my idea. I didn't come up with it, and that's why a lot of people prefer having the dalid. But they should know that this is an ultimate. This is not something that was dreamed up in the last 25 years. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara.
Omer Rav Nach.
V'noyeh lebad. V'noyeh means its beauty should be to the outside. In other words, make sure that you see the kesher from the top as opposed to from the bottom, because that's not so nice. Rav Ashi, Havi Yosef, coming to Marzutra. He was sitting in front of Marzutra. It's hapchalei ritzu the tefillin. The ritzu is in fact got nishapach. Amalei leisavul amarvini yeh in the bar. Don't you agree that it has to be the pretty has to be on the outside? Amalei, you're right. I didn't notice it. After all, it's in the back of my head. I didn't see. But now that you saw it, Shkoyah, for telling me, I'm going to change it. Don't worry. Yeah, yeah.
What became mixed up here?
The kesher that you have in the back.
Yeah.
The kesher got reversed, uh-huh. So you didn't see the front of it, you saw the back of it.
Uh-huh. It got flipped inside out.
It got flipped inside out. You see it from time to time.
Somebody puts it on and then the mitzvus it flips over inside the loop.
Yeah, it can happen. It doesn't happen often, especially if it's adjusted to fit the person perfectly, then normally it stays in place. But if it happens to be a little bit larger and the person's playing around with it, then it could get kind of kafui. All right. And now we have a shtickle agada to the next few lines. We mentioned this already on the Yom Aleph, Ro, Kalam, Yoritz, Geshem, Hashem, Nikra, Lecha, the Yoru, Mimeka. Tanya, Blaz, Agud, Loimer, Eilat, Tfilin, Sheber, Roish. Tfilin, Sheber, Roish. If the Goyim see it, oh, the Yoru, Mimeka. There's a pshat, I think, from either Baal Shem or maybe from the Hedek Baditshiva that he says, we know that throughout the generations, unfortunately, people in the middle of davening wearing their tefillin, and unfortunately some of them have been killed by the Nazis or other Rishum throughout the generations. Why don't you say the army Mecca? So he says, it says tefillin sheberosh. It doesn't say tefillin shel al harosh. If the tefillin is just on the head, that really he didn't internalize it, unfortunately. But tefillin sheberosh, that in his mind and in his head, he has the tefillin, the parashiyos in his head and his mind, his whole being is such that he conducts himself realizing about the tefillin and about the Yiras Hashem and the Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah, that's already a different madrega of a person. Okay. And we continue on. Vasirois yiskapai v'reises achoyroi shteit nigmar amr evchana bar bizna amr epshim chasidim ala mishar lekadosh baruch hu lemoyshe kesher shel tefillin. Kadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachos showed to Moshe Rabbeinu the kesher of his own tefillin. The tefillin shel rosh. Vasirois yiskapai for Isa Sechori, you'll be able to go and see my back. What's my back? You'll be able to see the Kesher Tefillin in the back. Of course, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a form, so all these Gemaras are very Kabbalistic in nature. What does it mean that he has a Kesher Tefillin? Somewhat esoteric. The Gemara in Masechtas Brachos even tells us what it says in the Parashis of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Tefillin. And now it says, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kena, Shema Echad. For the Gemara, what are the Parashis in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Tefillin? So it says in the Gemara that it says, Mika Amchi Yisrael Goy Echad Baritz. That's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu has in his Tefillin. Kav Yoch. Amr Yehuda, Kesher Shul Tefillin, Tzorach Shehei Lamala, Kadosh Shehei Yisrael Lamala, V'loi Lamata. You have to go out and have the Tefillin on top, the Kesher on top. In other words, that's in the back of the head. Why? So that Klal Yisrael ultimately lamala v'loy lamata. V'tzorach shehei klapi panim, k'dei she Yisrael lifnim v'loy li'ocher. Should also be, you see it from the outside, you see it. Rashi says, mimul oira v'loy b'tzili harosh. Don't make sure that you don't have the kesher here next to the ears, next to your payas, but it should be in the back of the head. So centered. It should be centered. Oh, k'dei she Yisrael lifnim v'loy li'ocher. Also, they should be front and center, so to speak. Omer Shmuel bar Bidri, Omer Rav, Yamri Le, Omer Rav Acha, Aricha, Omer Rav Huna, Yamri Le, Omer Rav Banasha, Omer Shmuel. Tefillin Me'emes and Bevorach Alein. When do you make the bracha when you put them on? Mishas Anachosin, from the time that you are Meniach the Tefillin. Now the Gemara assumes in the Havimina that means right after you put the box on and you start turning your straps, you'd started the Hanacha. Now you make the bracha. Pray to any of Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, Kol Mitzvos Kulam Bevorach Alein. Oyvili asiyosim before the hanocha, not b'shas hanochasim. By Rav Tam Tamai, that's tak what he meant. B'shas hanocha v'adshas kshira. First, you go and put the tefillin box on your hand, and then you're starting to on the kibboris, right? And then you're starting to get ready to be kosher to go and do the ties. Now is the time that you make the bracha. That's the shas hanochasim, not prior to putting the tefillin. Not when the tefillin is still in the tefillin box or in the tefillin bag. We're putting it already on the kibboris, on the muscle, on the arm. And then biceps, all these wonderful terms. Now you make your bracha, and then you do the kshira right after that. And this is where we stop, Rabbi Isai. Have a wonderful day, Zagizot.